Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point, and the point of today's episode, episode 54, is Luke Toth. Luke, thanks for being here. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me, man.
So Luke is a pivotal person in the basketball scene in Cleveland, but I'm not going to explain it to you. I will let him do it. So Luke, why don't you give us a quick rundown of who you are and what your involvement is in the Cleveland basketball scene?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So basically, I direct all the youth programs for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cavs Academy and Youth Sports, Cavs Youth Sports. We basically reach kids everywhere from, you know, the ages of 5 all the way up to 17. And our mission with the Cavs is, you know, inspiring through play. We're trying to use basketball as a vehicle to help kids on their basketball journey or, you know, just in their journey in life. A lot of community work, a lot of giving back. You know, I've been with the Cavs for 7-8 years now. It's been a while.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then I also am an AAU basketball director where I have my own program helping kids get better, you know, on and off the court. So, yeah, a lot of things basketball related, but that's pretty much my life and excited to talk about it.
I don't know if you could tell from him sitting, but Luke is very tall. What are you, like 6'6", maybe?
Yeah, 6'5".
Six. Okay, yeah. Okay. So Luke's very tall. So I feel like he probably was one of those that grew up always hearing, oh, do you play basketball, right? I mean, contrary, I did not. I did not get that question. So Luke and I, well, let's start with this. Luke and I met a couple of years ago. I was teaching and Luke came in and did the Cavs Academy program at the school where I was teaching. So why don't we start there? Talk a little bit about the Cavs Academy and what that looks like and you guys going into schools and kind of taking over for a day. Cause I think it's such an awesome, program.
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite things that we do. They're called Cavs Academy Pep Assemblies. And it started as we would go into schools and help gym teachers, phys ed teachers run their gym classes, you know, and do some basketball stuff and have kids be active. But then we got so many requests from, you know, each teacher and each school wanted it. So, you know, we basically created into this pep assembly program where we go into schools and we pretty much put on a little pep rally or assembly forum. We call kids out from, you know, the bleachers to do shooting stuff, to do dribbling. We have a lot of Cavs giveaways. The Cavs are really good about that. We always have, you know, like shirts, bobbleheads. Right now we have like this limited edition keychain kids are going crazy for.
It's awesome.
So yeah, it's a really cool program. Last year through the program, we reached about 23,000 students and we're on pace to even do more this year. But yeah, it's actually my favorite program that I'm involved with just because when you go there, you just make so many days. Like some of the kids at some of these schools, they go nuts for it. And, you know, you just fill them with so much joy for the day. So it's a really, really great program to be involved with.
Why kids? Why are kids such the focus?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I'm the middle of 5. So right. I think my parents, you know, just kind of instilled that in me. So through that, I became a teacher. I was an educator. And I just, you know, every kid grows up, you want to play pro ball, you want to be a pro basketball player. I learned early on, you know, it wasn't realistic, you know, probably towards the end of high school, beginning of college. But I loved the game and I loved giving back. So I first started as an educator. Lasted about 4 or 5 years. I loved teaching, but when the opportunity presented itself to get into all this basketball stuff, you know, it was a no-brainer. Yeah, just honestly, just giving back. And you just think of when you were a kid and some of the experiences you had. It's awesome to give kids those experiences and like make them feel good and help them. You know, I kind of just like helping people and helping them get wherever they need to or where they're going to. And, you know, it's a fun process.
Talk to us a little bit about that transition. So likewise, same kind of scenario as you. I was an educator, taught for several years, and different opportunities presented themselves. And then we end up using our education in different ways outside of the classroom. Talk to us about that transition when you first started getting into more of the basketball world.
Yeah, so first, I actually took a leap of faith. I gave up teaching before I actually got the Cavs job.
Okay.
I worked part-time with the Cavs ever since 2016 when they won the championship is when I started working, you know, events and youth stuff for them. But yeah, I was teaching for 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, I was doing so much basketball on the side. It came to a point where I literally had to pick one just because I just felt like my teaching, I wasn't fully in it, you know, as far as basketball. Like, I was just fully in basketball and I just realized it wasn't my full-time job yet. So I actually took a leap of faith where I gave teaching up in June at the end of the school year. And I actually didn't get hired by the Cavs until February of the next year.
Oh, man.
So there's about a 6-7 month gap. I own my own business, and I do AAU basketball and training and stuff. So I had that, and the plan was to grow that. And then, honestly, the Cavs, you know, reached out, and I went through a bunch of interviews, and, you know, I started working full-time for the Cavs. So I always tell myself, like, it was something that was meant to be. I'm pretty lucky and blessed that it happened. But yeah, I give teachers and educators so much credit for everything they go through. I know the struggle, and I know the grind of that, and I know they're not appreciated enough. So, but yeah, it was definitely a unique transition, and I'm glad I took it, because I'm so happy where I am now. So
yeah. And did you start in the same role that you're in, or did you end up growing throughout those years with the Cavs then?
Yeah, so I've been I'm going on year 5 full time. Okay. And my title has gone from senior manager of Cavs Academy, Cavs Youth, and then now it's director. So basically I just oversee more people, have more roles and responsibilities. But yeah, it's awesome. I'm going on 5 years full-time, 8 years total.
Wow.
And I've been away for teaching, you know, going on 5 years. So
yeah. So outside of the Cavs Academy, what are some of those other opportunities that you all create or that you get to be a part of within the Cavs organization?
I think like the biggest thing that our department is and what we do is just like the community aspect.
Okay.
You know, there's community relations with the Cavs, and then there's Cavs Youth Sports. And we're just like really big on that. We reach all, you know, suburbs, all backgrounds, kids of all, you know, different walks of life. And like one thing I love about basketball is just it's universal. You know, we have, you know, we teach and coach all these kids that are here. Then we actually have kids come over from Brazil. And they might speak a different language, but like, you know, basketball is ball. It's universal. So I think the coolest thing with the Cavs is just all the unique events that we do and all the unique opportunities we give to kids. I think that's the best part of working for them.
Do you find that, I mean, obviously they're crazy good right now, right? Top of the East, pretty dominant, expectations are high. Do you find that the excitement that you receive ebbs and flows with the success of the actual professional
team? Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
This year has been probably the most exciting and fun year because anytime we come to a school, people just are more excited this year.
Okay.
You know, we have some players do some community stuff and they make appearances, but that's one of the downsides of our program. Every time we go somewhere, they think players are coming. So
I see.
The kids get so excited for that, but some of the coaches we bring and some of our staff, you know, they kind of look like players or the kids look up to them just the same. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, when the team is rolling, it makes it a lot easier and it makes it, you know, everyone, like every school right now kind of wants us in their building. So
sure.
So it's a lot of fun. It makes it a lot easier too.
That's awesome. Yeah. You need that involvement and energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to think, like, I think you guys came and did it with us. What was that, 2 years ago already? No, that was last year.
I think we did it back to back here. So I think we were there just last year, yeah.
You guys did my classroom, and then the next year I know we did the whole school.
Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Yeah.
I love, and it's funny too, because when you are right, when everyone came in, a lot of you guys are tall. That always attributes to it, right?
Like, a lot of us are former players, yeah.
So I feel like that adds to the height of it. Yeah. Well, literally the height of it all, the expectation, the excitement and all that. Because
mm-hmm.
when there's a certain buzz, it's created, people buy into that.
Yeah.
You know, especially from like a student standpoint, you and I know as well as one another that if you can create energy in a classroom, in a gym, in whatever the setting is, then people are going to dive right into that.
100%.
Why is it that we use for example, why is it that we use basketball as a means to teach other things too? Why is it that we use something that is universal as almost like the vehicle with which we create other qualities and skills?
I think that's just sport in general. Sport, you know, kids probably don't see it right now or understand that they're playing sports to have fun, and a lot of them have dreams of becoming, you know, professional athletes. But us as adults and us experience it, like, we know, like, the ball is going to stop bouncing, you know, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, there's going to be a stopping point for everyone. So it's sports are just such a unique opportunity to teach life lessons. And I do that through Cavs Youth Sports, but through my AAU is one thing I'm really big on, is trying to teach parents and kids at AAU basketball, it's more than just the basketball. Like, I try to get the best coaches, the best philosophies, the best programs to help kids in life. you know, just teaching them how to practice hard translates to good work ethic. How to be on time translates to eventually being a good student, a good worker. So I think that's why sports and basketball's, you know, it's the best, because not only are kids are having fun playing a sport, there's so many life lessons and qualities in the sport that they can learn or they can gain. So that part, that piece of this is so enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the true reward. And then you see it years later. It's those comments that you get when people are like, hey, Luke, thanks for this. And it's years later and you're like, oh my God, like it's stuck, you know?
Yeah.
Something I think is I'm kind of enamored with is I think right now we live in a society that's real flashy, kind of gaudy, showy, all that. And some of it, I mean, I'll use John Morant, like some of his celebration, right? He's obviously under such a microscope right now. But for example, and it's easy to use him because he's on a pedestal of professional skills. So it's easy to use that example. But how do you dabble with some of that that you see where there's maybe like an overshowing of emotion from either a celebratory standpoint, a taunting standpoint, I think that's so prominent right now. And like, it's all across social media, right? And the youth in particular and engaging with that media at such a high rate. How do you dabble with managing that, but also allowing someone to be who they are too?
Yeah, it's honestly tough because the kids, you know, the NBA, it's great for the kids to watch, but at the same time, it's also tough because they see Steph Curry and they see some of these players doing incredible things like a step back three or fadeaway three. And then when they get in the gym, that's all they want to do. You know, they want to shoot the step back 30 footer. And so, you know, watching the NBA and being entertained and looking up to those guys, it's so great. But at the same time, when you get them in a gym, it is a challenge because you have to explain to them like those players are the best in the world. And the reason he could shoot so far is because he's worked so hard at shooting from 5 feet, shooting from 10 feet. So it's definitely a challenge. Like anytime I'm coaching a team or running practices, you know, you always see it and always see the celebrations and the dances that they do. So I think it just goes back to what we just talked to. It's just a teaching moment and it's just a life lesson. We're explaining, you know, those guys are the best in the world and they have the right and they've earned to do everything that they do. So yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but honestly, it's like, you know, it's up to coaches and it's up to adults to teach kids and educate them on what it's all about.
I love the analogy that there's always a bigger fish.
Yeah.
And that was something I always use in the classroom, especially as like a gym teacher, right? I mean, there's fun and there's different, when you're competing with different people, there's different levels of acceptance almost, right? Like you're competing with your buddies. You're going to push and shove. Like I remember a good buddy of mine, Luke, we would play in his driveway to 100. We would play up to 100, just one-on-one.
That's what it was
like. You would imagine by the time you get to 50, it's basically the MMA out there. We're just assaulting each other on his driveway. And those are moments, right? But then it's like you go and you're playing with other people and now you control yourself a little differently, right? What you express is so much. And so there's always a bigger fish. And I think the environments that we're in influence how we're, the expectation, the etiquette, whatever's allowed.
So, yeah, for sure.
I just think that that's so prominent right now because everything's taken out of context. You see a video and it's like, oh, well, I can throw a grenade as a celebration anytime. It's like, no, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
So something you kind of touched on too, I wanted to bring back to was your own basketball club. So I think it's LTB Club, right?
Like
is it a travel team, AAU team? Talk to us a little bit about that, Luke.
Yeah, so basically started off as just training. I was teaching and I was coaching varsity basketball. I was varsity basketball assistant and JV head coach for a little bit. And then at Lutheran West and Rocky River, they were really good on providing gym time to train the Lutheran West players. But then I was also bringing in other players, all kinds of ages, all kinds of skill levels for training. When I stopped playing basketball, I got right into training just because I wanted to be around it. You know, I'm a gym rat, always was in the gym growing up playing basketball. So yeah, my business started as just training kids, and then it got to a point where I was training so many kids and so many parents were asking me, like, who do you recommend for AAU basketball? Who do you recommend for AAU basketball? And then I started looking up AAU basketball, and, you know, 2017, 2018, I was just finding out so much on some of the good, but there, you know, a lot of bad that was in AAU. And one of the things why I started my program was, you know, there's a lot of good programs out there, but I saw a lot of programs just weren't offering the training. They weren't offering the player development. It was mostly all games, all tournaments, travel to this place.
Yeah.
So that was the vision, and that was like the passion, is like I want to start a program where it's focused on training, you know, more practices, more skill sessions, less games, and have the kids. Because I'm like really big for basketball and kind of like anything in life. You can't do C if you don't have A and B. And that's what's happening right now in youth sports, especially youth basketball. So many kids are playing all these games. Well, they don't have A or B. They don't have the tools to really play in those games. So to sum it up, that's kind of what my program is. You know, I'm up to, I think we have year round, we have like 600-700 kids in the program now.
Wow.
So yeah, it literally has grown since 2017 to, you know, like a full-time thing now. So.
Yeah. And those are amazing numbers. And just 7-8 years. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like, I'm truly blessed, but like it literally, springtime right now is our busiest time. And our first team was in 2018. We had one team, and it's 2025. We have 40 teams for the spring. So yeah, it's grown from one team to 40 just for spring in about 7 years.
Yeah, congratulations. That's amazing.
It's awesome.
And so are you actually coaching? Are you on the ground coaching? Or
is actually, for CEO? This is crazy. So this is year 7. It's the first year I'm not coaching a team.
Okay.
The second year of the program, I always tell, you know, it's a great story, and I use it to motivate people. I was a private school teacher, so, you know, needed extra work and needed extra stuff to supplement. So the second year I had 10 or 11 teams, and I coached 8 teams.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And people always ask me, like, how do you coach 8 teams? And I always bring it up. I have this document. I would basically do 4 teams a weekend, and I would work with the tournament directors. I would schedule games from 8 a.m. all the way to 8 p.m. And I worked with a couple of the tournament guys. They would just put me on one court, and I would just coach all day, like 10, 12-hour days.
That's insanity. Yeah. Truly.
Looking back, it's pretty crazy. Well, I love basketball and I love coaching. I did that for about 2 or 3 years. And then year 3 or 4, I started to get more coaches. But it's actually crazy. I used to coach 8 of the teams, and now I have 40, and I don't coach anyone. I oversee it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, my role now is overseeing and helping coaches explain to them what it's about and explain to them, you know, the vision, the process, what we're trying to do. So, yeah, it's great, though, to be like to start a business or to start something and see yourself working so hard at it and now still work very hard. I do a lot of administrative and behind-the-scenes stuff, but now to have that many coaches where you don't have to actually coach and now you can grow it is really cool.
That is. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know. And just to see how many people believe in that mission too, right?
Yeah.
I want to read right off your site. It says, yeah. Your site notes this, our basketball philosophy prepares players to become better players, but also prepares these young players for life. So again, awesome mission, more about that transcendence than it's more than a game, right?
Yes.
That cliche quote that is so relevant though. It's more than a game. And you have now 40 teams who are coached by, I presume, at least half that amount of individuals that are all buying into that mission, 700 players and their families and their coaches. That's a heck of a community. Well, congrats.
I appreciate it, man. It's such a blessing, but you know, with that, there's so many challenges. The biggest challenge to all of it is to getting players, but especially the parents, to understand that process. Because in that process, like, basketball is just a hard sport in general. You know, it's a simple game, but it's a hard sport. Like, when you have bigger, stronger kids, you know, the less experienced, weaker players struggle. And the challenge is sometimes getting the parents to understand the process. So that's kind of the biggest things that I'm trying to work hard with is so many people today want overnight success. They want their kid to join the program. They want to be on the best team. They want to win all these games. They want to see, you know, dramatic development right away. But you know, I tell my parents every year at my parent meeting, like, hey, this is a process and it's going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to take some time. Biggest challenge is a lot of people, you know, they don't really buy into that and, you know, end up leaving or end up whatever the case may be. So to sum it up, it's a blessing. I love it, but it's also challenging at the same time. I'm trying to educate more people on, you know, what it's all about.
How do you vet that? How do you decide the process of like this coach, this family, this whomever is cut out for it? They're on the mission, they're on the path of this, or this one's not?
Oh man, great question. Cause it's hard. Like they come to tryouts and we have so many workouts and tryouts and skills clinics. And I'm very straightforward. I'm just like, hey, here's the mission. Here's the philosophy. When your kid comes to tryout, you know, I don't care if he's, you know, best high school player or best middle school player, or he's like lower tier. if he wants to work and he wants to get better and you believe in our mission, we take those families and we take those kids. So, you know, we get a lot of people to buy in, but at the same time, it's just, you know, it's just the process. Getting good at anything, you know, takes time.
Yeah,
takes
repetitions.
So, you know, we open it to anyone who truly believes in what we're doing and you know, just the challenges and that process of going through it. So
how do you find that your education skills as a teacher have translated to now literally teaching basketball?
Oh, it's huge. I graduated from John Carroll. So my last couple years at John Carroll and then being an educator, just computer skills, but mostly like communication. I know one thing. One thing our program does really well is communicate. I know some other AAU clubs, they struggle communicating. You know where games are at, what tournament, how much money it costs. We're like really good at communicating. And I always tell my parents that at our parent meetings, like one thing I guarantee is I guarantee three things when they sign up for me. I guarantee that we're always going to communicate. You'll always know where you got to go, who's your coach, you know what you're doing this day. That's the first guarantee. Then I guarantee that we'll be organized as far as, you know, structured practices, structured programs, structured coaches. And then the third thing is I guarantee that if you do believe in the process, it doesn't happen overnight. But if you do believe in it and you stick with it, your kid will, you know, get better. But at the same time, it's like up to the player. You can give them the tools and show them everything, but they got to work at it. If they don't work at it, you know, that's on them.
Al Iverson, what's practice, right?
There you go.
Practice. But I love that, right? So communicate well, be organized, and put in the work.
Yeah.
Trust the process, be the process, buy into it, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
Those three are life skills that anyone should want to emulate
right.
within any realm. So right. much to your point that it is more than just meets the eye, this is more than just basketball training. That's life
yeah.
right there. For anyone had that is a great employee, that's a great
exactly.
business owner, that's
yeah.
whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Between the two, between the Cavs work that you do and between your basketball training, coaching business, you've influenced thousands of students. What keeps you coming back? And I say that because in order to influence thousands of students, it's a lot. You're coaching 10 games at a time, 12-hour
yeah.
shifts. I mean, I know it's shifted, but now you're running a big business.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. So to be able to influence, it takes a lot. What keeps you coming back?
Man, it's honestly, to sum it up, honestly, I really don't see myself doing anything else. You know, I always say, like, when you get that question, like, if you could do anything in the world or whatnot, obviously it would have been to be a player or be a coach at that kind of level. But if it's not that, like, this is, you know, this is my calling. I love seeing the development, especially on the Cavs Academy and the AAU basketball side. Like, when you get a kid in fourth grade, and then you have them in ninth grade and just see over the years how they've grown as a player, as a person, seeing philosophies and life lessons that you've instilled in them mm-hmm. and like them doing good and achieving stuff and being a productive, you know, citizen, productive student athlete. That's why, like that is the why. And yeah, it keeps me coming back. Like every year I just get pumped up, like who's in our program, who's coming to Cavs events, like how can we help them? And then when you see them out at a Cavs game, you see them out in public, you see them out wherever to get those hugs, to get those, you know, Coach Luke, you did this for me, you did this for me. You know, that's what it's all about. It's more about life, man. It's just like relationships and helping people and just going through life, you know.
I will argue with you. I'll just go to bat with you on
yeah.
this. I would contend that you're probably having a far greater influence on, first of all, numbers-wise, than a professional coach. But let's take Atkinson, right? Like, Kenny Atkinson's model has taken Darius Garland to new heights.
Yeah.
We Cavs fans all were like, he could be that.
Yeah.
And Atkinson's making it happen. That's one guy. And they only get 15, right, that are really directly influencing hundreds, thousands. So,
right.
I mean, to have that effect, to get those hugs, I would say that, I mean, maybe God's using you in just a different way. It's maybe on... what you're saying is a smaller scale, but I don't know about that. Just to go to bat with you on that.
No, I appreciate that, man. And it's actually, I've thought about that so long too. You know, going back to kind of just like teaching, you know, I think as a teacher I was at St. Angela's Cleveland Heights, you get 100, you know, 100 kids, you impact and touch other lives in the building or whatnot. But yeah, what I'm doing, I mean, every year, between the Cavs, you know, 20,000, and then AAU, you know, 700 to 1,000. Like, you're right. Like, it's honestly such a blessing. Where if you were coaching serious basketball or whatnot, you know, you only touch a handful. So yeah, it's really cool, and it's a great experience.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations again. I think it's well worthwhile.
Yeah.
Luke, part of that is to be almost like a public figure, right? Like, you're someone that, again, you mentioned, like, oh, you see him out and about, you see him around the town. There's a certain level of professionalism that has to come with that. You're almost always under, kind of like we were just talking with John Morant, you're always under a public eye.
Right.
What's that like for you? You know, how do you dabble with that? How do you grapple with it?
You know, one of the biggest things I have learned, and I actually challenge all adults, whether what role you're in, but especially teachers and coaches, kids like look up to you. And to me, that's the ultimate feeling. It's the ultimate role in life to have a young kid, young adolescent look up to. So I always take it back to the social media. Social media is so big, and there's so many positives that come out of social media and the information that you could share, all of it. But the biggest thing for me is just the social media. I always tell myself, and I tell coaches, never post anything you wouldn't want a young kid to see. I'm really big on that. Is like, I know, you know, back when I was a teacher or not, I used to be private and I used to not let like students follow me and whatnot. But honestly, over time, I realized like kids look up to you, and they're looking. The kids need as many positive influences as they can, especially in today's world with what they see in movies and music and
100%.
On Twitter, they can just go through and see the craziest stuff. So, you know, I'm like really big on that. Like, anything you see on my Instagram, every time I post, it's something that, you know, I would never post anything that I wouldn't want a young kid to see. So, you know, like, when you have kids follow you on social media and whatnot, just always know that you could potentially be a role model for them. And to me, that's like huge, knowing that kids look up to you and knowing that kids, you know, kind of idolize you in an aspect. You know, it's like, man, I get to do this for a living and be looked up to. So it's really cool.
Yeah. They see the qualities in you that they want to embody and be when they are our age or age, whatever.
Yeah.
It takes me back. I had a conversation with a teacher one time that kind of called me out and was like, you know, young guy comes in and there's all these experienced teachers. It's just the nature of the beast. There's always going to be a bigger fish. There's always someone that had 20 years on you. And all my social media was always public. And so, of course, it goes through the gauntlet. Students do what they do. They look at everything. And so I had a teacher come up to me and she's like, well, like, how do you, like, why basically are you letting students see your stuff? And I just kind of asked her the question, like, do you think that it's better that they're looking at what I have put out there or something else? Because if it's not me,
right,
it's going to be filled with whatever else is out there.
Oh, for sure.
And so it kind of makes me think about that. And she just kind of didn't appreciate the response, which is fine. I'm sure she has thought about it since. Yeah. But it's much like you're saying, when what you're putting out there is just all good and it's authentic and true to you. Like, that's what it's about. You're building that community even more.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a powerful tool. And, you know, as a teacher, I used to be private and, you know, students' requests or whatnot, I just left them there. But then when I became public and, you know, you see these students follow you and you see, you just, there's so much good that can come from social media. There's obviously so much bad, but there's so much positive you can do is just as far as the messaging you share on social media can go such a long way for a kid. So yeah, I know there's different takes on it or whatnot, but that's just, sure. You know, that's just how I feel like when I go to camps and when I go not and I see, you know, kids follow me or, you know, whatever. It's just like, how can you positively, you know, impact them? So
yeah, that's a tool. Yeah. You're 100% correct. Yeah. Luke, I want to kind of transition this a little bit. Socially, basically I'm asking you to brag. That's basically the question right now. Not really brag, but through all of this and through the basketball world, there's a lot of cool opportunities, I'm sure, that come your way specifically. What have been some of the highlights that you've gotten to experience? What are some of the parts of the job where you're like, it's different, right? We've talked about all the great rewarding aspects. What are some of the cool things? Like, for example, I know you were at a game recently. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of parts of the job that are awesome too, just in a different social way.
I would say the people you get to meet and the connections, So I've been with the Cavs for like going on 8+ years, part-time, full-time, getting to meet so many players, but more importantly, coaches, going to so many conferences, meeting coaches through the Cavs, meeting coaches through different organizations, through different networks, for my professional and personal development has been huge. I mean, in the beginning of all this, like I made so many mistakes on the AAU side, and then, you know, running camps and clinics, you learn by trial and error. But any advice I'd give to a young person is to surround yourself with people who have done it, or ask people who have done it, have mentors. And that's like been the best part of this, is I've got to work with and talk with so many well-known and established coaches and players, and just ask them about, you know, Phil Handy's a great example. He's probably the best, you know, skills trainer in the NBA, was with the Cavs with LeBron and Kyrie, Lakers for a couple years. But I've worked a couple events with him. I've, you know, sat down and had conversations with him. I mean, it's instrumental. It's huge just to hear from a world champion coach, probably one of the best skills trainers in the world. So that's been the best part of all of this, you know, obviously giving back and all the good that, you know, that you do, that we're doing. But yeah, just hearing from those people and learning from those people has been incredible.
That's really great. The people that we interact with, you can't overplay that enough.
Yes.
That can't be said. I mean, think about that, right? So Kyrie Irving, probably the greatest handles in NBA history. This is the guy who put hands on with him. And where do you think they, right? Like part of where do you think they came from in the craft? Oh, he was so fun too. Love Kyrie.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite stories about him real quick is like, have you heard his story of the backboard that he used to practice on?
Yeah.
And like with all the holes on it. Yeah. So long story short for our audience, when Kyrie was practicing as a kid, like the backboard that he practiced on had holes in it in different spots, and he would go to different parks that had different backboards with different holes in them, or like parts that wouldn't bounce like it would normally. So that's how he learned the twist, the angles, the basically the physics of where he needed to put the ball on the backboard to get it to go in, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so evident in his game today. But anyway, I just was curious on that, because I know when you're in environments that are doing such great things, there are really great people within them. 100%. And so it has to be more than just your team, which is doing great things, but it's bigger than that. So it's the Phil Handys and that trickle down effect and all of the ways. So it's really great.
Sure.
Luke, there's a closing litany that I run through to wrap up each episode. The first one is kind of a little bit of a downer, but I'm really curious to see how someone with a positive, grateful mindset like yours takes it.
Yeah.
The first question for you is, do you have any regrets in your life?
Oh, wow. Man, that's tough. that's really tough. I think about that all the time, because like you make decisions, and you know, I'm human, so I've definitely made many mistakes. But at the same time, like I go back and forth on just the concept of regret all the time, because it's like you make mistakes and you make decisions, but you grow from them and you learn from them. So if you don't make them in the first place, you know, would you have grown or known what you've known? So it's tough, man. I go back and forth all the time. Like I do regret stuff, but at the same time, I look at it, if I didn't do it or make a decision, I don't know if I would have grown from it or been better in the future.
100%.
So I think honestly, the only thing I could truly say out loud that I truly regret is, as a basketball player, it was very hard for me to make it as a player. I might be tall, but you know, wasn't really, you know, built like a strong athlete. You know, had a thin frame and body structure, but it was so hard to make it in college as a college basketball player. The only regret I have looking back is I would have went, you know, I could have played at certain schools or whatnot, but my path as a player, I didn't make it. So just as a basketball guy, gym rat, growing up, not making it as a player has always, you know, has always bothered me. I've always regret what could I have done more if I would have went to that school, if I would have went to this school. But at the same time, if I didn't fail as a player in college, then I don't know if I'm where I'm at. So it goes back to my whole point where I regret some things back then, like in my college days, but at the same time, if I don't fail, I don't know if I'm where I'm at. So Yeah, it's kind of like the whole concept of regrets in life is, for me, it's kind of a unique topic, because it's like, to sum it up, you make decisions, but sometimes you make decisions and you have regrets, but you learn from it and it gets you to where you need to be.
Totally. It's completely oxymoronic.
Yeah.
It's dichotomous to say you're going to do something that you wish you hadn't done, but then there's the counter effect of, well, then if I hadn't done it, whenever I learn and it would actually happen would not have happened. I don't know if I want that to be the case.
Right.
So if it is, it's completely dichotomous, exactly. Oxymoronic. Yeah. Part of that, I think, is this notion of gratitude, because there's a certain recognition that what has happened, I'm grateful for. To me, anyone who lives with a grateful heart and who tries to practice gratitude in their life has a better life, bar none, than someone who does not.
Right.
What role does gratitude play in your life?
Oh, man. Give me an example for you or for someone else, and then maybe then I can answer that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Me personally, guy of faith, believe that God has instilled himself in all of us. I think that each person, what they do really well, their gifts and skills are the way that God is within them.
Mm.
I think there's certain aspects of people, there's aspects of each person that we interact with that we're like, I love that about that, right? Like, I love this about Coach Luke. I love this about JP.
Yeah.
What those things are to me are the best of them that are like God. Therefore, apply that across the board. For me, I try and see what those things are in each thing. Then it allows me to meet people as appreciating them. It allows me to interact with, like right now, it's starting to rain right here in Cleveland. It's starting to rain. It's like, all right, you know what? These April showers literally are going to bring them my flowers kind of right. thing. It's finding the good purpose of each thing, the goodness of each thing, and appreciating that. To me, that's how I like try and see it, and therefore it's like the George Strait song of I Saw God Today kind of thing.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, I would say kind of similar to what you all said, and you know, I have that background, and I'm faith-based, as you know, as far as having a relationship with God. And I was actually I was born and raised Catholic. I went to St. Charles Borromeo in Parma. That was always a huge aspect and focal point of my life. We were the type of family to eat dinner every day, every night together, you know, go to church on Sundays with grandma and grandpa, communions, baptisms, you know, all of it. So having that in my life, and I kind of go back to everything revolves around God has a plan, and God is doing everything for a reason. I know it might not make sense at the time or whatnot, but one thing I'm really big on is just taking a deep breath and just being like, man, just being alive and just being here.
Yeah.
Seeing all the struggle and all the things in the world that people go through. To sum it up, I just think that just like being alive and healthy and just being blessed that you're on this, you know, you're on this earth and you're healthy and you're living life and you're doing things. I think to me, that's kind of it. Like, just put it all into perspective. That's the grand scheme of things. And you know, just thankful to God that I'm able to do this, you're able to do this, and we're all pushing through. So
yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. When you appreciate the whole, and then you appreciate the small moments that you've got it going on.
Right.
One of the questions I've added recently to this closing litany is one that I think adds a sense of flair, right? We go heavy, and then this one's a little different. Looking forward on your calendar, what are you looking forward to? We got playoff basketball coming to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, that was
exciting, right? Yeah. What's on your calendar that you were looking forward to, Luke?
Man, so many things. I'll do a top three list.
Okay, right? That's even better.
I'll end it with the one. So one, I'm a big golfer.
Okay.
Not very good. I'm working at it, but I've taken it up pretty seriously over the past couple years. So golfing for sure, golf season coming up. Number two, honestly, just warm weather. Like this winter, us being Northeast Ohio people, this winter was so long.
It did feel long.
So many just like snowy days and snowy drives and getting your car and, you know, car being frozen. So just warm weather, you know, Indians games, bonfires. Like I love like May, honestly, like June through the beginning of fall is like my favorite time of year. Just enjoying that weather and doing so many things outside. And then the last thing is I'm gonna be promoting here.
Please.
Cavs summer camps. Cavs summer camps are coming up. We have about 24 summer camps all throughout Northeast Ohio, Western New York, Western PA. And our summer camps are awesome. It's one of the best things that we do as the Cavs, and one of the most fun things I'm a part of. Monday through Thursday, 9 to 12, the kids come. They learn fundamentals of basketball. They travel around the gym and learn from so many different coaches. They do stations. They play 3-on-3, 5-on-5. Cavs tickets are involved. So many Cavs giveaways. They're a blast. They're fun. They start the first week of June, so anyone that is interested can go on our website, cavs.com, click on our youth page, and sign up for our summer camps. They're filling fast.
We'll have them in the description below, too. I'll link it in the description below.
Cavs summer camps, to sum it up.
What are the ages,
Luke? That's what I'm ready for. We actually start all the way at age 4. There's a Cava Littles.
That's awesome.
Cava Littles camp, 4 to 7. We start them as young as we can. And then we have Cavs Academy, 8 to 14. We start to cap out at that 9th grade high school level. But yeah, they're a blast, and I can't wait to be a part of them. I'll be traveling to Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Cincinnati. We have so many in Northeast Ohio. And right now there's a playoff code. So if you go on and if you sign up, it does it automatically, but we're running a special the entire time the Cavs are in the playoffs. So
hopefully it's for a long
time.
Hopefully
you guys all the way through mid-June when they're in the finals. So
that's awesome. I'm excited for you. Again, great testimony to you and what you are doing with your programs, your involvement, your basketball knowledge, the heart. I think it takes people don't appreciate that enough. I think it takes a great heart to put yourself out there and try and influence the world for the better, especially from a youth. Like, kids are brutal. People think like adults. No, kids are brutal.
Yeah. So they need a lot of guidance.
Yeah. And they're going to tell you, you know, that's what I think is awesome about the youth is like, they're going to tell you straight. Yeah. Like what they think. If it stinks, you're going to know. Yep. If it's great, they might tell you.
Yeah, for sure.
Luke, in closing, is there any piece of advice that you want to offer to the audience? Any closing thoughts you could tailor to a specific group or to, that audience abroad?
Man, I feel like my thing that I always share, I get to speak in front of a lot of kids. We go to a lot of, I was just at Robert Morris University and talking to 100 kids who are interested in getting into sports.
Great.
The biggest thing I share with anyone is it's huge for me. I actually started off as an accounting major in college. Part of the reason why I was so interested in John Carroll is because of their business school. But I did it for 3-4 months a semester, and I was just like, this is not for me. So I literally went to the drawing board. I'm not kidding. Like after my first semester of college, and I wrote out on a drawing board, what do I like? What do I enjoy? What am I passionate about? And the whole board was pretty much basketball. You know, it was all basketball related. I love training. I love watching games. Like, so my biggest thing is I always give this advice to anyone. You have to find something you're passionate about. If you only live once, if you don't do something you truly enjoy, life's not going to be enjoyable. So I'm truly blessed. Like I literally get to go to meetings at the arena. I go to gyms every day. I go, you know, all over state of Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and travel in different communities doing basketball. So I guess to sum it up is like, you really have to find something you're passionate about. And if you do, you know, it makes life so much more enjoyable and so much more fun.
And you're doing that with basketball, and our audience can be doing that with pick your poison.
Anything.
I think that's what's so cool too, is it's not like a one trip pony. I mean, you 100% works for you. And then it's like the next guy's got to do it for them.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, the biggest thing too, is like I tell kids, say like throwing out a couple topics like drama. Okay. If you want to be an actor or an actress, sports, if you want to be a professional athlete, music, you want to be a famous singer. I always tell kids, well, if you can't make the big one, like in basketball, you obviously want to be a professional player. But if you can't make the big one, there's so many other things you can do within that world, within that topic. So I'm really big on that. I always challenge kids like to look up, give me something you're really passionate about, what you like, and look up what you can do. Because you know, I found mine through coaching and kind of all this community stuff through basketball. So it's really cool.
Anyone who feels like they're stuck in the mud should really practice that, I think.
100%.
Like, go to the drawing board and just do the web. Yeah. It's like, what do I like? What am I good at? And then let's see what the heck we can find that merges all of that together.
Yeah.
And so I'm so big on that, too. I really believe that as well, because especially at a young age, that's a whole other story, but I really believe that we just don't have exposure. And then so we get into college and we're like, I'm going to do accounting. And you're like, I hate it. I started off in finance. I got there, same situation. I hated it. And then apparently all of us that start and switch go into education.
Yeah, seriously.
Joke it. But do the web. And like anyone that's stuck in the mud, I think that's universal across the board from young student to someone who's an adult and is like, I kind of hate my career, like this stinks, right? Like go to the drawing board, figure it out. And you, at that point, you have all the knowledge that you have that you didn't have X amount of years ago when you were a student. So
100%.
Luke, this has been a stellar episode. I appreciate the conversation. I want to highlight back to communicate well, be organized and put in the work, practice, trust the process, be part of the process. I think those three really stand out to me as just great goals for everyone to embody within their life and great values.
Yeah,
and that's a nice testimony to the program and the work that you're putting out there as a travel coach, AAU coach, leader, business leader, whatever, and your work with the Cavs and all the youth across really Ohio and beyond. Yeah, I really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate having you, man. It's a good talk. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you are a parent, definitely hit the link below and check out the Cavs summer programs, the summer camps. It's something that your student, your child will love. If you are a student, send it to your parents and be like, hey, we need to do this. All of you should check out Luke Toh's socials. I will also include that in the description below. And if you haven't already, I don't know what you're waiting for. I say this every single time. Hit that subscribe button, follow along. We appreciate you here at Chats with Clark. This has been another episode, episode 54 of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening.